This is a new podcast series called Real Life Motivation. Your hosts are Rachel Day from Flying School and Kelda Wood from Climbing Out. Together, we're going to be chatting around what helps us stay motivated. We're going to be sharing some of our top tips and ideas and always sharing our real life experiences so that we can keep things real for you. Thanks for joining us. Hi, Kelda. Lovely to see you again in the glorious sunshine. So today is all about goal setting. Do you want to kick us off with why we're even doing this podcast on goal setting? Why is it important?
Yeah, I think it's really, again, a big learning of my own is that importance of having a goal to aim for, you know, and the link to motivation. So, you know, unless personally I've got something to be working towards, I really struggle with the motivation to keep moving forwards. But also it being really clear that it's something that I want, because, you know, if you set a goal but you're not really committed to it, you're never going to have that motivation. So yeah, today we're really going to look at the importance of goals and how to keep that motivation up to keep moving towards achieving them.
Yeah, and I guess goal setting, people have heard about goals, you know, it's not a new concept, is it? But what's important is almost, I guess we tend to learn from other people's stories. So how do they actually do it in real life rather than on the textbook where I write a SMART goal?
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? Because obviously the whole aim of these podcasts was to keep them real. So we're not just going to pull it out of a textbook and tell you how to set goals, because we've all heard that a zillion times over. So for me, it's about relating it to real life. And when I look at both my own journey, you know, there has always been the next goal, you know, whether that be a race when I was riding the horses, whether that be when I was aiming for the Paralympics and it was, you know, world championships next year and then selections the year after, obviously the Atlantic. But as well, I think the important thing with goals is that having the end goal, but then breaking it down into stepping stones, because, you know, it's an analogy often used, isn't it, about when someone sets off to climb Everest, if they just look at the summit of Everest, that seems impossible. But you kind of go, okay, first step is base camp. Once we get to base camp, we move to the next one. So really recognizing what's the end goal and then what are the steps for me to get there. And I think a really important thing with that is keeping those small steps achievable so that you're constantly building confidence in your ability to achieve the end goal. And really interestingly, I had a conversation with someone the other day that they wanted to set up a business, but they were feeling scared about doing it and it all felt a bit overwhelming. But when we actually broke it down to, do you need to aim for the end thing, like a multi-million pound businessman now? What's the first step? And the first step was actually just doing some odd jobs for friends and families and getting some business cards printed. Did that feel achievable? Yes. So actually, once you've done that and achieved that, then we move on to the next step. And instead of kind of aiming for that big multi-million pound business when you haven't achieved that in the first month, thinking that you failed and stopping moving forwards with the goal. So yeah, that was quite a long-winded way of saying sort of identifying what the big goal is and then the importance of breaking those down into manageable chunks.
Brilliant. And so coming back to that first thing of identifying the goal, how do you do that? So you say your whole life has had one goal after another. Is almost, have you developed that on your own? How did you come up with your goals in the first place?
Yeah, do you know, I think, again, these podcasts are all about being keeping it real. And, you know, we've talked a lot about responsibility and choices. You have to keep looking. You know, if you sit and wait for the goals to come to you, the chances are you're going to spend a long time without the goals. So if I go back to when I missed out on selection for the Paralympics, you know, my goal for 4 years, but really since being 4 years old, had been Olympics gold medals, you know. that goal was taken away from me, because I wasn't fast enough, my goal, you know, but it was taken away. Now, I had a period of time when I wasn't going anywhere and I didn't know what my next goal should be. And that's a time when we go back to that sat nav analogy, that I say I was really sat at the traffic lights and going nowhere. And it was a not nice time, because I always like having a goal. But I got out and I explored options. You know, I opened doors, I looked for things. And when I started looking, it took a bit of time, but I then fell upon the Aconcagua expedition. And all of a sudden, my next goal was in place. And all of a sudden, you know, I put the stepping stones in and the training was back in place and the small achievable steps leading up to Aconcagua. You know, once I finished Aconcagua, I was like, okay, haven't got a goal now, but I'd already got an idea about wanting to do something else. So I started looking. And you're also prepared that you might try something and then it turns out it's not the right goal. So you're prepared to change and reflect and review. I think for others, it can be very different. You know, if you're in the middle of a degree, the goal is there. The goal is passing my degree. So you don't have to look for it. You know what it is when you start your degree with 4 years still to go. You can still break it down into the manageable chunks, whether that's one assignment, one exam, the first year, whatever it might be. But that one's very set. So I think we all have lots of goals, don't we? We have the big goals like jobs, home, relationships. We have smaller goals like challenges, sport, hobbies, whatever it might be. So I think there's some that we have more control of than others. But it is about taking responsibility, looking at what you want in your life. If I can just give another little example, Rachel, if you imagine a bucket and you fill that bucket with tennis balls, is that bucket full? That's a question. Is it full?
Sorry, yes, I assume it is. Yeah.
It might be full with tennis balls, but there's still gaps in it, isn't there? So you can then put, let's say, marbles in it. So you fill all the gaps in that bucket with marbles. Is it full? Well, yes, it's full with tennis balls and marbles, but you could still fit sand in it. So then you fill the gaps with sand. And you know what? You can probably still put some water in it, even when all the gaps are filled with sand. Now, then the bucket is full. So if you think of life being like that bucket, you have big goals, like the tennis balls. You have smaller goals that are marbles. And you have even smaller goals, like the sand and the water. But all of them together make up for a full life. So sometimes the big goals are either out of our control. You know, a lot of the time people can't, they might want to buy a new home, but until they've saved up enough of the deposit, they can't move forwards with that. So they're doing everything they can to move towards that big home, but they can't do anything else about it. Okay, so we can't work on that tennis ball right now, but can we work on a marble? Well, yeah, I'd actually love to learn to play the guitar. Okay, cool. What can you do to learn to play the guitar? And then you put the stepping stones in place. So really recognizing that we've got big goals, smaller goals, tiny little goals, but they're all really important to make up a full and fulfilled life.
Yeah, and I guess what I heard you share there is that you don't necessarily know straight away what your goals are, but what you do is decide on a question like, what's next for me? And you just start looking, and then eventually it lands. And it's interesting because when it lands, like, oh, I'd really like to learn to play the guitar, you get this real sense of energy and purpose the minute you've nailed it, the minute say it out loud. You just feel different, don't you?
And that really comes down to that key word of motivation. Because when you nail it, when you get the right goal, you're motivated because you want it, you know. So I set myself a goal during lockdown that I was going to learn to play the guitar. I'd started. But I said, okay, I'm going to do 20 minutes guitar time every day. You know, I've done it some days. I've not done it others. So that tells me that it's a goal that I kind of like, but I'm not really driven, because if I was really driven, I would be doing it every day. It, you know, my training, I've set myself the goal, I'm doing it every day, whether I want to do it or not, because I'm really motivated towards it. So I think you're right. When you nail it and you get the goal that really matters to you, you'll know it's right, because the motivation will be there. Although sometimes we do just need to kick up the bum. You know, it's a bit like, take that responsibility, get off your backside and make it happen, you know? So it's not an excuse that if you're not feeling motivated to go, oh, well, this isn't the right goal, so it's okay for me just to sit on the sofa and do nothing. I think it's really important to say that. It still takes time and effort to make those goals happen.
And sometimes people might not define a goal because they don't want to then be held accountable to achieve it. So it feels like a big responsibility, doesn't it? The minute I say I'm going to play the piano or learn the guitar, everyone's expecting me to, and now I've got to go ahead and do that.
I think a really big one with that is losing weight and reducing alcohol intake. So a lot of the time people say, I want to lose weight, but if that means they actually have to stop eating chips and crisps and chocolate, or actually I'm not that motivated. But I think then it's important to identify, why do you want to lose weight? Because if it's important to you, you will stop eating crisps, chips and chocolate, you know. So it comes back to those questions that I think we've talked about before. What are the consequences of doing it, and what will that bring me? What are the consequences of not? So, you know, if we were talking around the weight issue, and it's what are the consequences of doing it? Well, if I lose weight, I'll feel better about myself. I'll have increased confidence. With increased confidence, I might feel in a better place to go to that job interview or enter into that relationship or go to the gym. Actually, that would then lead on to this. And wow, actually, the outcome of me losing weight, that's pretty significant. Do you know what? I will stop eating crisps, chips and chocolate. But if it's kind of, what are consequences of not? Well, I stay fat. I still have low self-esteem. It doesn't give me the confidence to go for a job interview, relationship, go to the gym. That means things stay the same or go downhill. Wow, what do you want? You know, it can really help to identify what's your motivation behind the goal. Ultimately, it's about taking responsibility. If you want that goal to happen, it takes time and effort, you know. If you sit on the sofa, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and I guess one way I've seen people do it and it's worked is they've almost brainstormed all the possible goals. So I want to lose weight, I want this, I want that, I want that. And then they've looked back and gone, but what's out of those? Which is the one that really I feel motivated by?
And I think as well, it's making sure those goals are realistic. I spoke to someone the other day who hadn't been training for a long time. And then they'd set quite a gnarly training regime in place for the first week. And after the first week, they were so broken that they just went, see, I told you I was unfit. I can't possibly train. And they stopped. But when we broke it down, we kind of went, was that realistic? You know, so actually, how I see it is, if you think of your comfort, stretch, panic zones, you know, when we're in comfort, we're not growing. Yeah. If we're in panic, we're not growing because it's too much. So we want to put ourselves into stretch, because stretch is where we grow. So if we use training as an example, if you're saying today I'm going to do 10 press ups, okay, that's right on the edge of your comfort zone, but you can do 10 press ups. After you've maybe been doing 10 press-ups for a couple of weeks, you're kind of going, I'm doing these really easily now. I want to do more. Because it's almost got a bit boring because you're not stretching yourself. So you're going, I want to do 15 press-ups today. Do you know what? For another couple of weeks, you do 15 press-ups. Then all of a sudden, you find yourself going, I want to do more. Like, this is getting a bit easy. Like, I want to do more. Whereas, you know, before you know it, you're doing 30 press-ups a day and it's all felt achievable and you've always kept your confidence with it because you've slowly been stretching that comfort zone and moving into a bit of stretch, you know. If you'd gone straight trying to do 30 press-ups a day, potentially that puts you straight into panic. It hurts, you fail, and all you tell yourself is, I'm useless, I can't do press-ups, and you stop. So by building your confidence and getting to the point that you want to do more is a really sort of good way of stretching that comfort zone and working towards your ultimate goal and making sure it's achievable and you get there.
Brilliant. So actually what you're saying is just pace yourself and keep it so that it's real and it's possible.
And I think, can I relate this back to the Atlantic again, like I always do? But you know, my when I was sat there with 3,000 miles to go, it honestly felt impossible. And I couldn't see how anyone, particularly myself, could ever do it. So I ended up setting myself daily goals. And it had to be daily because it was dependent on the wind. There was no point saying I'm going to do 50 miles a day, because if the wind was blowing in the wrong direction, that was never going to happen, you know. So I would each morning look at the conditions and I would say, okay, today, as long as I have achieved 20 miles today, that's great. Anything more than that will be a bonus. You know, if the conditions were great, I'd say, right, today I'm going to go for 50 miles, you know. So I'd have a really daily goal. I'd also then have a sort of mid goal. So it'd be like, right, okay, I can remember around my birthday. It was like, I absolutely want to get to the halfway point by my birthday. Now, I knew, looking at the miles I had to go, that was going to need the conditions to be good. So I'd have to be banging out at least 40 miles a day, which, if you got bad conditions, was going to be out of my control. But it was a really good goal to aim for because it kept me pushing and probably going harder. But I was accepting that if the conditions weren't in my favour, it might not be achievable. Now, actually, I got to the halfway point the night of my birthday, you know, and it made me push harder because it was like, if I get, I knew I had to hit 40 miles a day, at least 40 miles a day. So I was like, do you know what? I'm on 35, but conditions aren't great. If I can get to 38, I know conditions are going to be better tomorrow. So maybe I can get 42 tomorrow and then I'll still be where I need to be, you know? So it absolutely kept me pushing. The ultimate goal was getting to the other side. But, you know, breaking it down like that absolutely made the big goal achievable and seem achievable, you know, otherwise I think I probably would have quit in the first week, you know.
And I guess the other thing from that story is that you took into account that you're not in control of the conditions, so there's things that are going to go on around your goal that you aren't in control of.
And it's really, really, really important question to sort of ask yourself when you're setting goals, you know, what might stop me? Because that's just realistic. So right now, I think of all those athletes aiming for the Olympics this year, you know, both in July with the able bodies and September with para, you know, their absolute goal, they've been so focused that they're aiming to absolutely peak, you know, in 6 weeks' time. And suddenly it's been out of their control. That goal is taken away. Nothing they can do about it, you know. No, you could have never like planned for a worldwide pandemic happening when you're planning your approach to the Olympics, you know. But I think sometimes I'll often say to people, what might stop you? Well, you know, my dad's really ill at the minute, so actually if I need to go and help with my dad, I won't be able to do that. Another girl I was speaking to recently during the lockdown, she's been helping look after her little sister, so she's got a load of uni work to do, but reality is she's not getting as much done because she's having to stop and look after her sister because they're all on lockdown. So it's okay, like, it's all right if things happen, but identify that's not you failing, they're just things that might stop you, that might be barriers. How do we then remove those barriers or work around the barriers? And that's the key. It's not about letting those barriers stop you, it's about recognizing them and working a way around them.
Yeah, and I think even asking that question, so what might stop me, there could be conditions out of your control, but there's also, it tells you to remember the things that are in your control as well. So what might stop me is myself and the fact that I don't like getting up early in the morning or whatever that is. So it's always two way, isn't it? It's what might stop me, which is out of my control, and what might stop me, which actually I can control and I can do something about.
Yeah, and I think I've talked about David Goggins before. You know, I love his book because his whole thing was he'd got physical goals in place. He was like, okay, if I just get up half an hour earlier, then I can fit in an extra 30 minutes of physical time. What's more important to me, 30 more minutes in bed or getting up and getting that done? So you're exactly right when you say that, Rachel. You know, if you're getting stressed because you're not getting uni work done, you're not exercising, you're running out of time to do everything, well, sometimes, okay, I will just get up half an hour earlier, or I'll cut my telly time down by half an hour, and actually that's under my control and I can take action to deal with that. And that's back to the responsibility side of things. So again, a really important point.
And it's making me think about choice as well, isn't it? So we have a choice to set a goal or not set a goal. So we know if we set a goal, we might be more likely to achieve it and get what we're wanting in life. But we have a choice at every stage as to whether we keep moving towards that goal or whether we decide to give it up. It's still our choice, isn't it? Mm. Whether we decide to amend it, whatever. So how is that? Have you got any stories, I guess, Kelda, on that sort of having to change your choice or choose differently? Or
Yeah. I think two things really from what you've said there, Rachel. The first one is, it's like you're going off on a tangent, but about that accountability, you know, so actually telling someone you're going to do the goal, writing it down and sticking it on your fridge massively increases the chance of doing it. I can always remember when I decided to row the Atlantic, I always had a get out clause until I told people. Once I told people, once I'd put that post out on social media, it was like, oh God, now I'm answerable, you know, but actually that makes you much more accountable and massively increases your chances. So, you know, for any goals you set, whether you tell someone or you write it out, just make yourself accountable. You know, that can be a really good thing to do. The second one, I guess, around changing and adapting, it's a really important thing. And I think the coronavirus is a perfect example of this and reflecting and adapting. You know, when we first came into the coronavirus situation, and I'm going to relate it to climbing out, you know, we adjusted our programs. We realized that we weren't going to be able to run programs in April, May and June, but we were like, right, we're going to go for July and we're going to do this and we're going to tweak it. We're going to adapt it. Our goal is to be started in July. And then obviously Boris Johnson's speech a fortnight ago, and it was like, okay, that's not going to happen. Wales, our program was in North Wales, you know, Wales has got different rules. So, okay, we're going to have to review, adapt, change our goals. So we've reset them again. We're very aware that they could change again. So it's so important with whatever goal you're setting to review. And I think that's not always about changing the goal. But I'm going to take it back to the losing weight thing. You know, if someone sets themselves the goal that they want to lose 2 stone by September, let's say. I don't know if that's realistic. Is that probably a bit... Anyway, let's say it's 2 stone by September. And, you know, you say, okay, that I'm setting that goal. My target is to lose X number of pounds in 2 weeks. I'm going to do it by exercising, doing this, cutting my eating back by this. But actually, do you know what? After 2 weeks, you're finding you're just blooming hungry, you're grumpy, you're ending up snacking on crap because you're hungry. It's not working. So actually reviewing your goal. Well, the goal is still the same, as in I still want to lose weight and my target is X number of pounds in the next fortnight. But my stepping stones are changing. Actually, I'm going to do bigger, healthier meals and try and put more vegetables on my plate so I'm not so hungry, so I don't snack. So I think quite a lot of what we've done through this whole lockdown is saying, okay, we've set this goal. We've said this is what you're going to do to work towards this goal. Try it for 7 days. you know, then have a little review, a tweak. What's working? Okay, that's working, so I'll keep doing it. That's not really working, so I'm going to just adapt it a little bit. I'll try it for another 7 days, and then I'll tweak. So I think it's not being scared to be flexible. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that it's not working. It's just, and I guess that was massively a big thing with the Atlantic as well. And that was around my routine. But, you know, I knew my routine was going to be the thing that would enable me to just take one day at a time, break it down into manageable chunks, you know. But as I've said before, it took a long time to work out what the right routine was that worked and enabled me to just take those manageable chunks, you know. So it's a very dynamic sort of process, goal setting. And dynamic's quite an exciting word, isn't it? It's great because it's like, you know, it's fluid, it's changing, new opportunities might come up, you might find some things easier, so you want to do more, it might go faster than you thought, it might go slower than you thought, and we can just adapt and be dynamic around it. That's great.
Yeah, and I guess that makes me think, well, let's just remember what the purpose of setting the goal was in the first place, you know, and so that we're not doing it for everybody else or doing it because we said we'd do it or, you know, like becoming a slave to the goal that we set that we no longer want. Actually, if beneath it all, our goal is to get out more and get out more exercise, then, you know, let's remember the essence of that goal. Even if we then put some milestones in which feel difficult. And the only other thing I was just going to share on that is that, you know, that accountability thing. So I feel like, oh, I could never say I'm going to row the Atlantic because I'm too scared right now. Like that feels too scary to say. And so I don't say it and then eventually I never do it. Yeah. Or I say it and I say, this feels scary. I don't even know if I can do it. Yeah. But I'm just going to say it out loud.
Yes.
And then in my journey towards figuring out if I can do it or not, I'll either do it or I won't do it. But either way, I'm going to learn stuff about myself, aren't
yeah.
I? I'm going to change.
Hugely. And do you know what really surprised me? Before the Atlantic, it was a couple of weeks before I left. And I was proper pooing my pants about it, you know. And I honestly, I didn't want to go. And someone who'd done an awful lot to support me, they'd helped me with my rowing, they'd helped with fundraising. They were from a rowing club down in North Wales and they'd got the whole club involved. They'd been amazing people. And when I said to them, they said, no one would think any the less of you if you didn't do it, Kelda. And that really surprised me because I thought everyone was, you know, like, well, she's got to do it because we've done this, this and this, you know. And this helicopter's coming back, Rachel. I was just like, it's going to come straight above me again. Sorry.
Yeah, just remember where you are. So where yeah. you were was, no one will think anything less of you.
Yes.
It really surprised yeah. you. Yeah.
Sorry, I probably could have kept going there. Yeah, so I am, something that really surprised me was that when it came to rowing the Atlantic and a couple of weeks before I was due to go and I was really pooing my pants and thinking that I just couldn't do it. And I spoke to someone who'd helped me a huge amount. They were from a rowing club down in North Wales. They'd got the whole rowing club involved. They'd done so much, you know. And when I told him that, he said, no one would think any the less of you if you didn't do it. And I was really surprised because I thought they would have all seen me as a failure if I hadn't done it. But it was like, no, it was a massive goal to set. And if you've tried your best, but actually when you've got there, you know, bottom line is you're putting your life on the line doing this. If you decide not to, we will respect that. I think that's not a cop-out, again, but it's that all you can ever do, and we've said this a lot, is be the best you can be. So if you've given it your best, but actually what you've learned is it's not the right goal or it's a bit too much or whatever it might be, that's okay. Because if you've tried your best, you know, you can respect yourself and other people will respect that. And I've always said it with climbing out, as long as people are prepared to have a go, that's all I ever ask. Because some people, they'll go to do the abseil, you know, and then they'll be hanging over the edge and they're like, I just can't do it. That's okay, you know, because you've been brave enough to get up there and have a go, and that's what matters. And if you truly, truly can't do it, you're not just using it as an excuse, that's fine, and no one's going to hold it against you.
Interesting how that's almost the final test, isn't it? So the minute someone says, no one will think any less of you, or it's okay if you don't want to do it, you then have to figure out, do I really want to do it? I'm no longer doing it for everyone else because they don't mind. And in some ways, I'm more motivated then to do the goal, aren't I? Because I'm either going to do it, because actually it wasn't about them anyway, it was about me.
Well, it's really funny that you say that. So from what I've just said about the Atlantic, and I've said it a number of times as well, where, you know, when I was out in La Gomera before the race start, I was waiting for something to happen to give me the excuse not to do it. And it actually did happen. So 2 days before we were due to start, my AIS broke. And the AIS is the piece of equipment that sends out a signal to alert you of other ships. So if you're going to get run over by another ship, basically, if it's not working, you can't start. So I kind of went, yes, you know, here's my reason not to start. And then I went, hang on a minute, I really want to do this. And it was a great test, in that suddenly I realized, all right, I was scared, all right, I was overwhelmed, all right, I felt like this was a massive challenge. But actually, when I did get that chance to back out of it, I realized how much I actually wanted to do it. And so you're right, it is a good little test. You know, maybe it's a good question to ask. How would I feel if this was taken away from me? You know, is it total relief? Let's go and have a few beers and then jump on the ferry home. Or is it, actually, I'd be really sad because this was a big goal, you know? So, it's a great little test to yourself, isn't it?
I love you sharing that. That really does keep it real, Kelda, because we don't hear those stories of everybody out there about to do something big and wishing and praying for something that would stop them having to set off. So thank you, because of course that's exactly how I would be. So thank you so much. Let's bring this to a bit of a summary then, Kelda. What are our final thoughts around goal setting? What else would you like to say?
You know, I think it's really just about identifying the need for a goal, big or small. So they can be big tennis balls, life goals, or they can just be little things that help life be complete and make you happy, you know? And then really identifying what that end goal is, and then working out the small, manageable steps, achievable steps that keep your confidence up, keep it achievable, and just those stepping stones towards the final goal. And I think the third thing is motivation. Work out, why do you want to do it? If I can finish with one other little story, which I think sums up brilliantly. I can remember I was working at Battleback with the military 1 week, and I'd been training really hard. It was leading up to the Paralympics. I'd done a massive session in the gym, and it was apple crumble for pudding. And I really like apple crumble. So I was like, do you know what? I've just done a massive session in the gym. I'm going to treat myself to some apple crumble. So I went and got an apple crumble, and I sat down with the apple crumble, and the guy sat beside me went, so that apple crumble is obviously more important to you than the gold medal. And I just went, I hate you right now. And I went and put the apple crumble back, you know? So for that, that's my example of motivation. You know, it's kind of actually, what do you want? If it really matters to you, you'll go and put that apple crumble back, you know? So I think motivation is key. You've got to want it, and you've got to know why you want it.
That's huge, isn't it? And then just go and try it. And if you fail, you fail, actually.
And adapt and change again. And you know, that's the thing. It's as long as you've given it your best. And sometimes, you know, like I might have started to try and play the guitar and realize that actually I hate playing the guitar. So I've learned something, and then I don't have to stress about the fact that I'm not learning to play the guitar, because I know. Can I do one more story? I know, but just I always wanted to ski, right? But I never knew whether I'd be able to with my leg. And one day we were with Buckleback again, and we went to an indoor ski slope. And I was like, great, it's my opportunity to like learn to ski. I put the ski boot on, and within about 30 seconds, I realised my leg could not be held in a position in a ski boat. It was excruciatingly painful. I was nearly throwing up, and I was ripping the ski boot off, you know? And do you know what? That was okay, because for quite a long time, I've beaten myself up about the fact that I'd never been skiing. And maybe I'd be a really good skier. And it was sort of like an underlying goal. I tried it. I very quickly learned that skiing was not going to happen with my leg. I've never stressed about not being able to ski or not skiing since, because I tried, I learned, and now I've adapted and I aim for another goal. So I guess that's what we're saying.
That's brilliant. And it sums it up beautifully, Kelda. So good luck, everyone, with setting goals. And I know that Climbing Out have got some great worksheets and things like that. So if you do want some resources to help you, to get in touch with Kelda at Climbing Out.
And that would be great. Yeah, we'd love to hear from anybody.
Brilliant. And I will see you next week. Lovely to see you again, Kelda. See you later.
Thanks, Rachel. Take care. Bye.
So that's the end of our podcast for today. Thank you so much for joining us. If you have found it helpful, please do share with as many people as you can. If you would like to find out more about Climbing Out and Kelda, visit climbingout.org.uk. Or if you would like to find out more around learning to fly and Rachel Day, visit flyingschool.fun. We really look forward to seeing you next time. Thanks.